Hello, and welcome to the official podcast featuring four people that you have grown up with, you've grown to love, you've grown to know, you've grown to hug and kiss. In order, in terms of age, we have Jackson, Chris, Kaya, and myself. And joining us this week is another host, Charlie, because I tricked you. Our guest is actually Chris of Explosive. Cyanide and happiness, many great things that you've laughed at on the internet. Chris, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. And yeah, I mean, if you've laughed at it, you know, that's debatable. I appreciate it all the same. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course, man. You're more than welcome to come on. And you're here. I don't know why I like extended an invite despite you already being here. I guess that's become just such a stock response, because usually people are like, oh, you should get this person on and that person on. My response is always, well, they're more than welcome. But you're here, Chris, and we're thankful you're here. You're always more than welcome to be here.
Oh, yeah. Feels good. Feels good. Appreciate it.
Speaking of feeling good, YouTube's really fucking you guys pretty hard over there, huh?
Oh, man. Yeah. No, our colon's hanging outside of our body because of YouTube. We've been reamed pretty hard. And, you know, like a lot of it, it's not the only part of what we do. It's just something that we like to do, and we keep going. We've got a lot of talented people we work with and stuff, but oh yeah, YouTube is raw dogging us for sure.
And now you've gone to Patreon for support. Is that turning out well for you? Is that going to be enough to sustain the animation division and keep some good humble men and women fed?
Yeah, I think so. I fucking love Patreon, and you know, we kind of prefer it that way anyway. I mean, YouTube's gonna go through the crazy shit that it does, and we don't want to kind of change everything that we're doing just because it's going through growing pains and going through puberty and all that.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Patreon is great for animators and people like that, where they can't rely on YouTube for consistent income and reliability. I like Patreon.
Not at all. No.
They're Patreon's not great. Reliable.
No, not at all.
They're more reliable than other venues.
I can think of a couple things that are a little less reliable than Patreon.
Yes,
for sure.
But they're aspiring to be less reliable, and in the future, you know, I mean, you see all the posts they make already about, hey, we're gonna get rid of hateful people and this and that, and give it a couple of years, they're gonna be YouTube.
A little different for Patreon, though, because when you watch something on YouTube, you're not directly paying for it. I don't think Patreon would just kick paying people off, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I can agree with that.
We don't know.
Do you know something, Kaya?
He's got a man on the inside.
Kaya owns Patreon.
I know that, unfortunately, these days in Silicon Valley, politics goes over profits, unfortunately. I wish they all just cared about the money. We make money. If there was all to it, then yeah, I wouldn't be worried, but I am.
Yeah, and all we ever talk about is politics on this show. Nothing but politics.
Definitely.
It's like Crossfire.
Exactly. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So Chris, I was reading up on the sordid and secret history behind Cyanide and Happiness. I discovered that you started it as a 16-year-old little wee lad sitting in your room with your crayons when you had strep throat. And I just want to know, your thought process at the time, did you think maybe, like, while you were doing it, was it just something you wanted to fire and forget, just a little doodle to pass the time where you were sick? Or kind of like, what kind of transitioned it into this big conglomerate of cartoons and merch and card games and all this shit, do you think?
Also, are you feeling better now?
Chris has been very ill for the last, what, like 12 years?
Yeah, it's just been getting worse. I mean, I feel better physically, but I feel way worse mentally. And technically I was about 14 or 15 when the comic started, but I was running a shitty .tk website called Kamikaze, which was the name of the comic at the time, and then kind of saw that a couple other things had that name, so got rid of it. But yeah, I was still fucking sick with strep throat, and basically started, I was kind of doing animation for hire for a bunch of like rich kids back then.
Ooh.
And yeah.
Wait,
right?
What does that mean? Rich kids?
Like you would have
the cool kids in the neighborhood kind of thing? You draw stuff for them or rich people?
You'd find these rich kids and they would be like 15, 16 and they'd be webmasters and they know they wanted to make an animation website, but they wouldn't animate themselves. And so they would get they would get people like me to come in and just make bullshit. And as sort of a break from doing animation, I started doing comics due to being sick. And it's much easier to draw a comic than it is to draw 2,000, 3,000 frames of an animation.
Frames, yeah.
Yeah. So just kind of did that to take a break and kind of enjoy myself. And I was drawing with an optical mouse. I was drawing these comics in Flash. And I would make like 4 or 5 a day and laugh and be like, ha, that's stupid. And then I wouldn't show anyone out of shame. And basically started...
Optical mouse, were those the with the ball?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. You've dropped two very nostalgic references now. One is the .tk domain, which I would have always... that was one of those free website domains, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Good old days.
Right. When you're 14, you don't give a shit. I'll have a .tk, a .xyz, whatever.
Absolutely.
I used to love those.
Yeah, man. The free websites.
Which one of you boys remembers Pixo? Do you guys remember Pixo by chance? At the .pixo?
No. I don't think so.
Really? That was all the rage in my elementary... Well, I guess it would have been middle school now. In my middle school, we used to make .pixos. It was a website building and hosting platform, kind of similar to like a Weebly, but a lot more primitive. Yeah.
So you couldn't find the site through like whatever search engine there is. It's privatized until you buy it?
Because
that's what Weebly does. So.
I don't know if it was quite like that back in 2005, but... I'm pretty sure you could still find it if you typed it in on the search engine. I'm not positive, but I don't think anyone was looking for mine, which was coldflames.pixo.com.
What was on it?
Oh, man.
Cold Flames.
Cold Flames.
Basically, Pixo is very primitive.
Was that your web handle?
No, I just thought it was a really cool name because like the dichotomy between like cold and flames, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no one's ever thought of that before.
You don't have to explain it. I don't know why that thought it was so good. I think you're onto something. Whatever happens to all the free domain websites like Weebly, you know, the Blogspots, the Pixo, Angel Fire, they all kind of got crushed under the conglomerate of WordPress, I think. They hold a monopoly now on the free block stuff.
I think they've like transitioned into more like commercial stuff, like paid, you gotta pay for it, and then they just set you up and then use a .com.
I think because that wouldn't have made a difference. The only people who ever used those services were teenagers who didn't have any money to begin with. They still wouldn't have any money today. So I think what happened is social media replaced those websites. You know, why would you have a Weebly if you can just make a Twitter?
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of the social networking and Squarespace kind of stuff came and squashed that shit out.
Oh, yeah. Squarespace is still massive.
Oh, yeah. That still exists, kind of, right?
In a way.
They're big, yeah. So anyway, Chris, you said you were embarrassed of your beautiful art.
Yeah, quite embarrassed.
Why? It's beautiful.
Just because I thought I was the only person who'd find it funny. And I was like, no one wants to see this shit. They want to see my stupid animations instead. And just kind of, when I was sick, I had enough time to, make like 6 a day. And then after a couple months, started showing it around to a couple personal friends. And, you know, they kept me as a friend, so couldn't have been too bad. Yeah, from there, started just kind of building the website. From there, I was part of those. I'm not sure if you guys remember shit like stickdeath.com and stuff like that.
Ooh, baby. Stick Figure Death Theater.
Stick Figure Death Theater.
Stick Page, shit like that. Oh, that was
fuck yeah.
Loved all
that. Dude, my first email was at sfdt.com. That was my very first email address on the internet.
Oh, man.
That's so nostalgic. Holy shit.
Yeah, really. That's a big throwback.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fights.
You have any favorites from that era? Any fond memories for any cartoons from back then or things that
Ed Scudder did some really kick-ass stuff on there. And he went on to make Dick Figures.
Oh, Dick Figures, okay.
Yeah. There's a couple.
Who could forget?
Who could forget?
Well, Dick Figures is super popular right now.
Yeah, it's good stuff, and the animation's great, and yeah, cool dudes, and yeah, but you know, I was a big fan of those kind of animations, and you know, when you're in that part of your life where cool flames is a cool thing, you know, you want to see animated violence all day.
The one that. Go ahead, Charlie.
I was just going to say, I hope that's not still off, because it certainly would not have aged well. The background was the 50 Cent Get Rich or Die Trying album cover repeated like a checker pattern. And it was laden with Lost Prophets music videos, because I used to love their music.
Oh, no. Man.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, I know I've mentioned this, but the lead singer of Lost Prophets, Ian McRapist or whatever, he's in jail for 30 years for raping, like children and stuff.
Well, so children's being generous. It was babies.
Yeah. Oh, so you're familiar with him?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's hope.
For I'm more familiar with that than his music.
Chris was a Lost Prophets
fan. What was your pick, so for Ian? God, man, I really wish I could find it though. I'd be very curious to see exactly how it looked like at the time.
Yeah.
It's the kind of stuff you'd want to take down if you ever just went for a, I don't know, career publicly. Any sort of a public figure. Like, imagine if Oprah had an old Pixo page where she just swoons over Ian the baby rapist.
God, imagine if she Oprah might. Had a Pixo page in general. It'd be a fucking disaster.
Well, she's rich enough to just buy Google and take it down.
Yeah. She could hide the search.
Yeah.
I'd be left to the wolves, though.
God.
Right. And do you guys by chance remember Stick Suicide?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Oh man. Chris, I'm gonna hit you with a big one that's gonna spark nostalgic memories for people listening. Do you remember Zhao Zhao?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, Zhao Zhao was my fucking bread and butter as a kid. I would get home from school and watch every single one back to back for like 4 hours a day.
Oh man, same here. He was like the mysterious one. He wouldn't say anything, wouldn't be part of any of the communities, and then he'd come in and just rip everyone's ass open with this amazing professional quality animation.
I think the only thing he ever did in terms of reaching out was at the end of one or two of them, he just put an email address, and that was it. Just this public, like, at GeoCities email or some shit.
Oh, GeoCities.
This is great.
Oh my god, yeah.
These are tickling me so hard.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Before audience are gonna be like, what are these, like, ancient hieroglyphs? What are they talking about?
GeoCities? What the fuck? I hardly know.
Did they mean Geostorm the movie?
Before we move on, though, from the topic, Zhao Zhao is a good one, but do you guys remember Oscar Johansson's Castle series by chance?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're actually still in touch with Oscar. He's talented as fuck, man.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Is he still doing those kind of things?
I haven't seen what his animation is for a while, but I imagine he's gotten more than a comfy spot doing animation.
Charlie, he's still putting out stick kung fu movies in Flash with stock Adobe Flash sound effects.
He's not given up on the dream yet, baby.
Yeah, man. Really dramatic stuff. Man. And I started putting some of those comics up on the Stick Suicide forums when I started getting the courage to put him up in the general public. And then Rob Denblaker contacted me over MSN Messenger.
Ooh. Another throwback.
That's right. We're old internet.
You just gave me fucking Vietnam flashbacks. Charlie, you had coolflames.tk.
Oh, that my, picture, yeah.
My MSN Messenger name was X the Shadow Slayer X. Not kidding.
Shadow Slayer.
When I was 12, it was the coolest goddamn thing.
MSN has got to be laundering Russian oligarch money by now. Why would that website be up otherwise? Still,
it's not up, is it?
Did yeah, it is.
Removed?
It's still up. It's still up.
Yeah.
Jackson, not the messenger part of it, though.
No, well, okay, the messenger isn't, but fire up Internet Explorer and the landing page is MSN News.
Well, I think that kind of goes with AOL as well. AOL's still up and running because a lot of old people still use it as like both their primary source for email and news.
That's a myth. The AOL's still up because they bought who the fuck did they buy? It wasn't Verizon, Disney. But they bought some massive company
AOL
and that
buying
keeps them
Verizon? Flow. That seems
It was something. I actually think it was Verizon.
Really?
Yeah, it was Verizon. AOL bought Verizon.
How did AOL get the money to do that?
From all the
AOL, the first internet company, get all the money.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I am so.
You're
I am
an idiot.
So,
AOL was bought by Verizon.
I am so fucking sorry. It was the exact opposite.
I was about to say
AOL was purchased by Verizon.
AOL, thank you so much for buying us. You, the premier 1999 login internet service, with all your billions of dollars left over.
We're all a little sad when AIM died.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace, cool sports.
Oh, man. AIM was another one. I think my name was Death Clock Rocks 66 or something.
Oh, nice. One six short.
I had a new edgy screen name for every single messenger.
Mine always just made me sound like girls, so my friends would convince me to change it, but I just kept making the most feminine ones. The first one was Cool Sports 81, and then I was Sporty Shorty.
I'm with you there. My first Yahoo name was Half a Nip.
Do you have any embarrassing handles or names that you've used for stuff, Chris?
Yeah, well, yeah, my Yahoo handle was Half a Nip, which is ambiguous to say the least. But
that's cool. That's cooler than anything anyone said.
That's not that bad. Mm-hmm. Do you guys know any? I know a guy who still has his Netscape account.
Ooh.
And email.
Oh, shit.
Netscape.
I've never met anybody who can top that unless some sort of a mummy came back to life.
Oh, I can't top that.
His mailbox or something.
No, Half a Nip was one. I remember on SFDT, I was El Taco. And, not that badass. Not as badass as Shadow Slayer or Cool Flames.
You want to hear real badassery? When I was, I think I was 11. I went to a LAN center for the first time ever. So... But it wasn't like, oh yeah, let's meet up and go here. It was like you paid for like a day pass and they let you use like consoles and computers and shit. Like it was an arcade, but they had like computer setups and shit. So I went to the front the first time I ever got there and they went, all right, you need a username to log into our system. And I thought they're standing there for like 30 minutes. Eventually I went, Master Cheese. And the man was like, okay. And I was like, it's like Master Chief, but funny. And to that day, ever since I went back there, that guy just did not want to talk to me. And that was it.
I mean, that's probably because you were 12.
That too. I mean, I don't know. As a 12-year-old, I thought Master Cheese was the funniest fucking thing that's ever been invented.
He just didn't get how cool it was. He probably had some sort of name like, Dragon Reamer or something. And he's like, this guy doesn't know how to make handles. The Dragon Reamer.
Ooh. Oh, damn.
Hey, do you guys remember Whistle?
Oh, yeah, dude. Whistle, that was all the rage. It still is.
Yeah, tell me about it.
What is Whistle?
Charlie, you are the one who has actually factually used this on their dog. Go ahead.
Yeah. Chris, do you have a pet?
Yeah, I have a dog.
Yeah, exactly. Are you familiar with Whistle?
No.
How often does your dog get lost?
How often does my dog get lost?
Yeah.
None so far as I'm aware.
Well, then you sure could use Whistle. Whistle is a device that attaches to your pet's collar and allows you to track their location and activity from an app on your phone, so you'll never lose your dog. It's super super lightweight, waterproof, and has a rechargeable battery that lasts up to 10 days, so you can rest assured that your dog's going nowhere without you knowing. Whistle uses GPS and AT&T cellular network, and everything is beautiful. Charlie, you've used Whistle. How is it?
Yeah, I've been using Whistle since before they decided to sponsor the podcast. Tian and I really like it. We can always monitor how much activity Tetra's getting to make sure she's getting her daily exercise and her bicep curls and such. And if she ever does get lost, we can easily find her. So it's
wow.
Very, I'd highly recommend it.
That's amazing. I'm going to get my dog lost now.
No.
But you can easily find him. Go to whistle.com and use code official and you'll get your dog back.
You won't get your dog back until after you do that.
We're holding it hostage.
If you're listening to this podcast right now, check your dog. You won't find him because we have him and you have to go to whistle.com.
Use code official to get $25 off a Whistle device. Neat.
That's right.
Thank you.
Can I use it to find other dogs? Like if I want more?
Like a dating app.
Is your dog not working out for you? Do you want a new one? Whistle.
I guess you could use this for nefarious activities, like attach the tracker to a car if you suspect your girlfriend is cheating on you or something.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, if I have kids, I'm slapping one on each of them.
Yeah, bug your girlfriend with your dog and whistle.
Yeah.
So, Chris, the cyanide and happiness community has kind of, well, not exploded, but it exploded at one point and has kind of continued to grow at that nice rate. How have you found the success of it since you started it when you were like 16 or so? How has it been?
It's very surreal. It's surreal every day. I'm a fucking junkie for making stuff and just creating shit and entertaining people and stuff like that. So it's pretty great that we can try different things and whatnot. You know, we went from being a comic to doing animation to doing tabletop games and video games and podcasts and all sorts of that shit. So that's the kind of rotation I like to be in, where I'm just constantly making stuff. And it's kick-ass to have that kind of support. And I never expected it by any means. None of us did. And we also didn't expect to be some sort of, I want to say, threshold of offensive humor. We just kind of found out that we're offensive.
Everything is, yeah.
Everything is to someone.
Yeah, exactly.
Difficult not to find out with everybody telling you when they're offended.
Yeah, but it's great. I kind of wish that we got as much hate mail as we used to.
Oh, has it gone down recently?
It has quite a bit. Recently, we made a poster that's entirely made out of real hate mail that we received. And nice. Yeah, but it's just a little too few and far between. People kind of get what we're doing now. And You need to spice it up a bit. Exactly. Yeah, we need to really start gunning for people.
Can we help get some hate for the Explosum guys, please? They're hardworking men. Can you hate on them a little bit more?
Every day, innocent content creators go without receiving their recommended dose of hate mail. You out there can help. Just find a creator like Chris or someone you like. Send them a fucking email or two about how much you despise them. That's all we ask.
Just trying to offload some of his hate.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird. I mean, the bully hunters told me that people receive up to 3 million messages, hate mails, a minute. Yet Chris here is saying he doesn't get that many. This is weird.
Yeah, according to the bully hunter's math, over 6 billion women are harassed every day.
Well, that's the problem. I'd be getting more hate mail if the fucking bully hunters weren't around.
They're protecting you too damn hard.
Yeah, really.
They're too good at their job.
Oh, everyone's
too
scared.
Too good at selling headphones.
They don't understand that bullying is a game.
The bully hunters with the infinity stones.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
It's not a world peace I want to be in.
You'd get snapped out of existence, my friend. You know the statistics. Eight out of every three women are harassed daily on video games.
By other women. They need to stop.
I'm one of them. Here's my story.
Buy my headphones. Chris, speaking of the bully hunters and other great misdoings of the internet, has there been anything on the internet that's lately caught in your eye? Something that you've been following, getting juicy gossip from?
Well, I guess it depends which avenue you're talking about. I couldn't help but be curious why there has been such a wave of incestual porn going on.
Mm. Wait, you're right.
There is?
Oh, yeah.
It's all turned into like incest stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like stepsisters.
Why is this common knowledge? I have not heard of this.
Do you think that that's the new wave of taboo that the internet jumps on? Like for a while it was vore, and everyone was obsessed with vore, and there was all these other like trends of taboo porn, and now incest.
Oh,
is
you
just
mean
kind
people
of
are
the,
just talking about incest more?
Yeah, people are making it, talking about popular. It, throwing it around.
Yeah. Well, what drives me crazy is that you'll just have a regular, average, honest to God porn. And then they'll just title it like it's an incestual porn, but there's no setup or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It'll just say that.
How are you meant to know that this is incestuous? Do they show like their birth certificates and shit like that?
Here's my driver's license. Here's my sister's.
That's the whole point. It's all make-believe, which I don't know how they can even get any enjoyment out of pretending.
Yeah. Right.
It's kind of boring.
I want the video to open up with a panning shot of all the family photos on the mantle.
An ancestry report.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that still could be faked. That could still be photoshopped. I want to see them both come out of the birth canal and then watch
18 years.
Yeah, watch like them grow up in front of me like a boyhood.
So it's legal.
Yeah. and then get with the fucking, then I'll know it's true.
Yeah, that's where we want to be. We're here now. That's where we want to get to with the
incest
like porn.
Fucked up version of the Truman Show where they also have his sister and try to set them up.
Jeez, that probably is where society's heading. It just always seems like the internet kind of latches onto, I don't know, whatever's taboo or icky and kind of purports it as the worst thing ever, but that just causes it to spread even further. Like with the whole incest porn, everyone's like, oh man, this incest stuff is gross. And like, oh, brother and sister. But then it becomes kind of wrapped around on itself and now everyone wants the incest porn.
Ooh, I still haven't met any person who's like openly craving incest porn.
Well, I mean, Chris said it best. If you just
don't know.
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh yeah, you've met them. You just didn't know you met them. It could be anyone on this call.
Are you trying to say something, Chris?
I'm saying nothing. But I'm feeling a lot.
I mean, I think you said it best, though. If you go to most big porn websites now, not every video, but every page, you'll see three or four that just says, like, brother fucks sister. I fucked my mother and regret it. You know, like, shit like that.
So they must be getting, like, clicks and stuff then, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the hot topic.
But the people watching it, it can't be that they're actually imagining themselves in that situation.
I think you're right.
People cannot have hot sisters.
I don't think people are demanding the incest. What I think is happening is that the porn is porn. I think people just look at thumbnails. And then, you know, if all porn was labeled incestual, then people are still going to go to it. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit recursive.
Incestuous partners are just, like, naturally hot.
Yeah. I think that it's a misunderstanding of the fantasy. I think most of the people who want the incest porn don't have siblings or any kind of that relationship. So they imagine, well, no, I'm dead serious.
I wish I had a brother to fuck.
That's exactly what I think it is. That is 100% what I think it
mommy,
is.
Mommy, I want a little brother. Can I suck his dick?
I'm not kidding in any capacity. I think it's people who go, man, if I had a hot sister, I'd fuck the shit out of her.
I think it's more just the taboo of it. Like,
yeah, it has to be a taboo because everybody has a mother. They still want to fuck mothers, apparently.
Yeah, but not everyone is a hot mother.
Yeah.
They go, man, if my mom was super hot, I, you know.
All I want is a hot twin that was born at the exact same time as me and squeezed out that birth canal like the exact same time as I did that I could turn to and say, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. We're hooking up.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what it is.
All I had was half sisters and half brothers, so.
Have you fucked any of them?
No, not yet, man. They're plain hard to get.
That's not hot. That's like half incest.
So is this whole thing is your scheme to subtly drop hints that you dig the incest idea? You want them to listen to this?
yeah, if they hear that, you know, hey, send me a text. No, I just honestly, when I see the titles and stuff, I'll avoid it. I get a little pissed off, you know. I'll think that looks like a perfectly normal, fine porn, a nice, straightforward American porn, and then you'll see the title, and I don't want to click that because I always think of the service provider. And the kind of pages that they're seeing. And I say, I don't want them to think that I'm going to stoop to that level. Mm. I'm gonna go look at this public orgy.
Or this
triple fisting.
Do you still do the thing where even though you're on your personal computer that no one else ever uses ever or even looks at, you still open like private mode to browse porn and shit?
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be that one time like a family asks to use your computer or something like that. And then, I don't know.
Exactly. Plus, even if they don't, just stop... It's one of those things, like, you know, even if you're not getting laid currently, are you still going to change your underwear every week? Yeah, you still should. You know, it's gross otherwise. It's that basic level of human self-care. Mm-hmm. If you just don't have that Pornhub search results in your browsing history every time you go to type in something normal.
Right. Yeah. Also, you got that the issue of your autofill filling up and clouding everything. You're trying to go to Reddit and you're on RedTube and then you forgot where you were trying to get in the first place.
Yeah, you want to go to Reddit, and then you end up in the very wrong place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, sometimes you know when you're not looking for porn, you don't have time for that.
You just gotta jerk off, even if you're on the subway.
I'm in a hurry. Cute cats on Reddit, it'll have to do.
Yeah, you can turn Reddit into porn if you kind of type in RedTube and end up on Reddit. You can still find what you need.
Oh, easily. Reddit's one of the biggest porn sites in the world, basically.
Life finds
it's
going
to subreddit for everything.
Speaking go ahead.
What I am curious what subreddits you go to for porn.
Oh, I can recommend a good one. Just lesbians.
Public Freakout's good.
Yeah, lesbians.
r/lesbians?
Yeah, they're very active. They're a passionate group of people. Sometimes Katie from Pornhub's on there. She's not acting in anything, but she'll comment saying, keep up the good work, girls, or something in the comments.
That's good.
That's nice.
It's nice to have it.
That is
has she ever acted in anything?
I don't think so.
I'd be interested to know that.
So are you guys worried about the whole deep fake AI shit? Because I'm sure you've seen the Google presentation by now where they have their artificial intelligence make a phone call. It's almost indistinguishable from a human.
Yeah, not only that, it adds ums and pauses into its speech. That freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah. I don't know too. I mean, obviously, it has a lot of effects with like a deep porn or deep fake porn thing because you could get the audio from the person. But someone sent me an email. Someone deep faked me onto some gay porn where I was giving a foot job. And I was like, wow, that looks like I'm giving a foot job. That's dope.
Yeah.
Wait,
I think that's pretty cool.
Really accurate?
Yeah, it was scarily accurate. It was only a GIF though. Yeah. Like they didn't do the whole video, so they didn't commit 100%. But I gave a foot job.
If someone could deep fake me,
put it on Pornhub.
Yeah. If you want to check out good porn subreddits, there was a whole subreddit for deepfake porn. A lot of it got taken now. Yeah, and a lot of it is kind of just floating on the internet. But if you can find some, that shit is scary.
Yeah, it's 1-to-1.
Yeah,
it's scary at first. Yeah. Like the Google call stuff and the deepfakes can be scary at first, but then you know they'll get useful later. I mean, I would love if I could just set up the Google call thing and deepfake together. I'll never have to call my mom again. You know.
Yeah. Well, the one that worried me, I was reading comments on the porn stuff because like I was like, well, while I'm jerking off, I may as well learn something. And the one that scared me was someone said, what if you do this for like propaganda or political shit? Like you take Putin and put him in a video where he's saying like, I am now going to launch nukes at Siberia. Like that shit scared me. Yeah.
So I don't know why he would launch nukes at his own places, but yeah.
I said the first European country that came to mind. I won't lie.
It's like an anime super genius move. I'm going to nuke my own country and draw them out of hiding.
They won't see that coming.
Maybe at the end he said, like, and I'm going to pretend like it was you, America.
They're like, what's this? A Skype call from Kim Jong-un? This is going to be important.
I'm going to join. But no, man, I was reading the Unabomber's manifesto the other day, and even he...
Because if you're going to jerk off, you might as well learn something from it.
Sorry, what?
Because if you're going to jerk off, you might as well learn something from it.
The Unabomber manifesto.
Say what you want, this man was really, really smart. You know, I don't agree with his conclusion that his basic whole point, his end point was that we have to give up technology and go back to a natural way of living, almost like an Amish dude. But the points he makes along the way, back in 96, he argued that you cannot separate the bad parts of technology from the good. And I think this is just going to be another example of it. Just like the internet, right? The internet is immensely useful. For us all, it ushered in a new age, you could say, but at the same time, ISIS can use it to recruit new people, right? It has its ups and downs, and I think the same thing is going to be true of all this new artificial intelligence, deepfake shit. Well,
that's any kind of technology. Like, you can use a stick for bad things and good things. Fire for good things, bad things.
I'm excited and scared.
I'm not saying it's bad, or I'm not saying we should, like, ban it. It's just, it's something to think about.
I'll tell you what we should ban, though, is subpar razors, Andrew. What do you think about that one?
I think that I'm not going to listen to you, and I'm going to wait for the deepfake video of Barack Obama shilling out Dollar Shave Club.
You can't deepfake such a smooth cut. Tell him, Jackson.
You know what? I'll deepfake for Jackson here. Dollar Shave Club delivers everything you need to look, feel, and smell your breast. Sure, we'll go with that.
Smell your breast.
Chris, can I ask you a question?
Please do.
Do you have hair?
Yeah, I do.
All right, does some of it go on your face?
Yeah, quite a bit of it.
Do you think that Dollar Shave Club would be the best place to get a razor for your face?
I do, and I'm not kidding when I say that I do use Dollar Shave Club.
Tell us about it. Tell us about your experience.
That's right. Well, Dollar Shave Club what it has done for me is give me plenty of razors and plenty of blades for those razors, where I'm never left wanting again. No longer will you have to stare at your reflection through the thick glass at your local Walmart and have to annoy some Walmart fucking employee to come and unlock the case so you can have your razor and feel like an animal. No, 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 no. Not in the same line as ISIS, but Dollar Shave Club does do a good job getting people on board, using the internet to get people supporting its product. And I'd have to say that I am an acolyte of the Dollar Shave Club, and I couldn't feel smoother. Smoother than a baby's bottom.
Better than any of us could have ever said it, so I'm going to move straight to the call to action. A great way to try a bunch of Dollar Shave Club's products for $5, just $5, not more, not less, $5, you can get the Daily Essentials Starter Set. It comes with a body cleanser, a One Wipe Charlie's, which are amazing butt wipes, the world-famous shave butter, and the best razor, the six-blade executive. None of this two-bit bullshit Dollar Rust Club garbage that they found and dug up for you. No, you get the premium top-tier six-blade executive. Keep the blades coming for a few more bucks a month. Add in shampoo, toothpaste.
But where?
Anything else you need, you could do it at dollarshaveclub.com/official. Thank you for keeping me on track, Kaya. That's dollarshaveclub.com.
Andrew could just rant about Dollar Shave Club for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I want you to cut the fluff and give me the URL, man. Where can I get shaved? Dollarshaveclub.com/official.
That's right. Dollarshaveclub.com/official. I could
study the blade.
These ads for fucking hours. Chris.
Yes.
We have to ask this question. It's mandatory.
Of course.
And I feel like I'm the only one asking questions, but that's fine.
Lay it on me.
Do you have any interesting masturbatory tales?
Yeah. Well, man, I kind of shot that off early with some of the incestual stuff, didn't I?
Wait, so you do jack off to incest stuff?
We knew it.
It's not my choice. I just kind of look at the thumbnails and kind of go by there. All right,
we got the soundbite and the call.
It's not your choice. Your sister just keeps seducing you.
Hey, that's stepsister.
She couldn't have possibly been that cute.
masturbatorial habits. Yeah. I got a number. I got a couple.
Sure.
What's your number?
Something I don't understand is the whole into a tissue thing, or like I need something more sanitary, so I usually just open a window.
It's someone else's problem at that point.
Yeah, I set it free.
You're like the guy who dumps the garbage in the street.
Yeah, that's
Wait, so do you jack off out the window, or do you have like jack off into your hand and then like throw it out the window?
Oh, out the window. I'm not touching that. That's gross.
How do people not see you do this?
What's that?
What window is this?
How do people not see this?
Oh, what? It's the top window of Big Ben. Normally.
Oh, no. Oh, that poor guy down there. Oh, it's bird shit again. Damn it.
Morning, right. Steve. Just getting rid of the morning waste.
Most of it just kind of burns up in reentry.
How high are you? Are you jacking
pretty
off on
up
the
there.
ISS?
When I get the chance. But you can't really open a window very often over there, so I try to avoid that. But yeah,
I
you know.
What coming on the ISS feels like.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, actually, I don't think you can. I think they said that in space. I think they said that in space your blood flow can't properly maintain an erection.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Dude, bummer.
Wait, so they're up there for months. You're telling me they never orgasm? That has to hurt. That
from what I've read,
be.
Yeah.
That's got to be difficult.
They still have like a wet dream or something, like their body's natural way of getting to come out of them.
Right. They have to have like a NASA-sanctioned prostate massage or something.
some sort of vacuum pump.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
your
I don't know. That's going to be difficult.
Extraction, you know, otherwise your balls will explode.
Yes. And you got boobs in zero gravity, you know? That's pretty sweet.
Oh, that's a good point. In zero G, every boob is perky.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's doing all sorts of tricks.
What happens to your nuts when you're in zero G?
Oh no. That's
all of the wrinkles
need
completely smoothed out.
Brave man to experiment. And I
volunteer. Why isn't NASA like experimenting with this kind of stuff? They do the boring shit like science.
Oh, you know they have to. They're just like keeping that tucked away in some filing cabinet. Like you see the red faces that people get when they're up in the ISS, you know, they get all the blood building up to their head and everything. Your balls got to be similar.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's 100% there's some like confidential like porn files from like the vile shit NASA astronauts have done up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, someone get those leaked, please.
Every astronaut has just rubbed up on each other naked, no matter what creed or nationality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they better. They'd be kind of a...
Sitting
in the pilot seat and just jacking off while looking at the planet.
Nothing gets more harder than space.
You're jerking off to everyone.
The space lord, right there.
Oh, man.
That's new heights, man. That's out a tall window is not enough for me anymore.
So I wanna back into reality a bit here, Chris. How much of what you told us was real? I'm assuming the window part.
Yeah, to an extent, a window, like a sink, stuff like that. You know, I don't do the tissue thing.
Because I want to know. I get the sink. That's fine. But I'm just wondering, how do you get away with the window?
How do you get? Well, you close it when you're done, and then you just drown out everything. That's the reaction of it.
I mean, do you just, while people are walking down the street, just go morning? Like, how does this work?
Well, I close it so fast. Yeah, I close it so fast. I don't even think it's hit the ground yet.
Oh, so you don't jerk off into an open window. You open the window right before ignition.
Let me clarify that it's out a window, not into one.
It's just like a murder mystery.
This is incomprehensible. Yeah. So
hang on. What kind of a view does your window have? Are there other tall buildings where people would have a good view? Yeah. Or is it like, do you have some reasonable privacy?
It's a kind of reasonable privacy. I definitely have some neighbors, but I live in Colorado, so there's also like some owls and foxes and stuff like that.
Well,
so it's a bit serene.
Baby fox back to health with this habit, like Jesus.
Well, good. I mean, I didn't exactly nurse a baby in any way out of it, so might as well help the nature.
An addendum on the nursing part: on the space stations, everything is recycled. Then I assume, including the semen.
Oh yeah, you heard about them making that food out of their own feces?
What? No.
That's movie. They did. Matt Damon, but yeah. I'm talking about how they recycle the moisture out of the air, their breath, their urine.
They actually figured out how to, you know, since like weight is a big thing with the ISS, they figured out how to turn their feces into a food type and, eat it. And there's photos and stuff.
They just ate their shit. Yeah. They just pooped it out and ate it.
But they won't mention how it tastes. Yeah, but they won't. Nobody will talk about how it tastes. So, you know, it's not a good sign.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
I wonder what it tastes like.
It's like only carry-on luggage. That's all you get to eat the entire time you're up there for 9 months or however.
It's true.
Do they not do supply drops?
I believe they do. I believe they do here and there, but...
they just transport up more shit for them.
This is all the shit from NASA headquarters.
It's just a storage truck.
Just claw.
Yeah, it's a honey shuttle. I have to go into this...
Just Mr. Astronaut Extra sitting there hoping for pizza and he gets shit.
Do you guys think that the first priority of anyone who's up in space is like to go jack off as soon as they get back? Like, I'm wondering what the facility needs is when they get down. Is it like, do they go get a disgusting burger first? Do they go to sleep? Like, do they jack off? Like, what's the very first?
Talk to their family.
No, they do that on the way down. Honey, I really got to jack off.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get my window ready.
Dick's coming in for a hot re-entry, babe.
Clean the sink.
I have to bring this up because I was fascinated by it the other day. When are you guys familiar with what a honey wagon is?
No.
Honey?
No.
A honey wagon. They're those giant trucks that come and suck all of the septic out of porta potties.
Yeah.
But if you drive one for a movie, you get an official IMDb credit and a billing in the movie.
Really?
Yeah, I was going through and finding who was like the most prolific shit sucker in LA.
What's the
or in Hollywood
title in the movie?
Shit sucker.
I think it is Honey Wagon Driver or something along that kind of a generic title. That's fascinating though, because you can really see who's making it. You know, who's making it in Hollywood.
Who's rolling?
I wonder if they keep the shit, because that's
shut
the
up,
shit of
I
celebrities.
Want, stop, this is too suspenseful. So who is the top shit sucker?
I don't have it up in front of me, but I know.
Come on.
I know.
That is a tease.
What kind of,
I'm a bad fan.
How many movies even have a dedicated shit sucker? You know, most of the time it's a gas tanker and stuff.
Yeah, it'd probably be outdoor shoots. You know what I mean? Because if you're in a studio, you're not going to have it.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
I think just about every film set has to have one.
Even if they don't have porta potties.
Yeah. Like, he's got to be on there just making sure no shit falls loose on the ground or any sort of situation.
He checks the actors to make sure they don't shit themselves on set.
Yeah. You wipe yourself properly? Let me check that out.
American astronauts need this. Be a patriot and
support
save
the
your
cause.
Shit.
I tried to get an answer for who the most prolific shit sucker is. The first result is Buddy Pine. Does that ring any bells, Chris?
That does ring a bell.
On YouTube, if you look up shit sucker.
No, I Googled it.
Buddy Pine. That does. I feel like a name like Buddy does stand out. Oh, man. I hope he doesn't listen to this because I want him to know that I'm a big fan.
I think this might be him because Buddy Pine has been the premier shit sucker for the better part of the 2000s.
Since 2004, this man has been the driver of the honey wagon.
Yeah.
Wow. He took a year everyone's off trust. For the movie because of Winn-Dixie to drive the fuel truck, but then he went right back to the honey wagons.
Yeah, I guess he didn't like it.
Wow. All this he is does the is guy. Drive. Holy shit.
Yeah, this is the guy.
Yeah, this definitely looks like the right guy. Wow. His biggest break was Green Lantern.
Yeah, so if you were on the set or enjoyed the movie Green Lantern, just next time you watch it, remember Buddy Pine was slurping up that dookie to make that movie happen.
Yeah, you know, get a hold of Buddy Pine. Let him know you're a fan of his work. Send him some hate mail. And
that's what he needs. his life is sucking up shit. The first thing he needs is some hate mail for it.
Exactly. Come on, man. Keeps him motivated.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, keeps him motivated, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that motivates him. Yeah, I'll keep sucking up these people's shit that hate me. For my country, baby.
Maybe he's into it.
I want him to get a Hollywood star.
Speaking of honey wagons, we have a more palatable and better type of honey to talk about. Millions of people are using honey to save money while shopping online. And why wouldn't they? It's free. It takes two clicks to add it to your browser. Saves you a ton of money. It's ingenious. And one of the best things about it ever is how honey makes it better to shop on Amazon. But probably the best thing of all is it has nothing to do with honey wagons. Tell them about it, Jackson.
So Honey's a little widget that you can get on your web browser. Basically what it does is when you're shopping on stores like Amazon, it'll take all the discount codes it can find online, every single one of them, and apply it at your checkout for you. So you just click and you save money, basically. It's that easy. They automatically search 2 million sellers on Amazon to find you the lowest price as well. So you can like get stats on if you're paying the lowest price possible for whatever object you want. I highly recommend Honey. You can go to joinhoney.com/official to get it for free right now. There's absolutely no reason not to. It's two clicks, you save money, get it for free. joinhoney.com/official.
Charlie, remember those snacks you bought on Amazon?
Mm-hmm. How could I forget?
Remember how much better they tasted because you save money on them with honey?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
and they already tasted good from the start.
Oh, even better. joinhoney.com/official. No reason not to add honey to your browser.
Chris, I was going to ask a bit earlier. Is there any topics like you want to make jokes on but you feel like might be a little too controversial or won't go over well? Because you've mentioned that people find the humor offensive sometimes and it doesn't bother you. But is there some topics you just don't even want to touch because you're afraid of backlash?
No, not exactly. I mean, we never really kind of go out and write anything to be offensive, but we kind of just end up like landing there by reflex and just kind of the what we laugh at and what have you. There's some stuff here and there where it's like, okay, maybe this won't be worth it, or this isn't as clear as we want it to be. We've Jesus Christ, we had one that we scrapped. Called it was all about how there's you know a lot of homophobia on online gaming and shooters and stuff like that, and we wrote this short that we tossed away that was called Battle Gaze.
Yeah,
and it was about
that wouldn't go over well. Yeah.
No, it wouldn't at all. Probably. And that was kind of the thing. And it was all about how people would start, because the game would be so great that people would start using the word to say, hey, good job. And they'd say, hey, yeah, you too. And then the word would lose all power. And it was like a first person Medal of Honor kind of thing where your hands are out in front of you instead of any sort of gun. And you weren't anywhere near the war. And it was people just kind of helping each other out in times of need and stuff like that. And it was one of those things where like, you know, that's not going to be worth it, really. But it's never because it's ever like too offensive or anything like that. It's always just more of if we find it funny enough, we're going to go for it. And, yeah. You know, consequences be damned.
Well, Chris, you got to remember, this is the internet. So if you do anything satirical, a good chunk of people will take that as you coinciding with it.
Right. Yeah. No matter what. You know, yeah, we've definitely got the brunt of that plenty of times. But, you know, that's, you know, we make a poster out of it and we feel good about it.
You make some money off it.
Your hate mail made me money.
Right.
And with the Bill Burr school of thought when it comes to haters, which is fuck 'em. But Chris, we do have a long-standing tradition here on the official podcast, which is being positive. And even though we've kind of forgotten about it recently, I'd like us all to mention one thing we all like.
Oh, yeah.
This is bullshit. This is a community effort for us to be more likable.
Remember 10 episodes ago when I said we'd do this every episode?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we forgot about it.
Good point.
That just means we've got 10 weeks of stored up like things, right, guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
Woo!
I have a few, but I'm not going to blow my load.
Yeah, we got to go in
all
jack
at once,
order anyway.
Out of a window.
We got to preserve the Jack Order tradition.
What did I say last time?
I don't know.
You telling me you don't remember from over 2 months ago? Well, come on, Jackson.
Well, I was just hoping it wasn't a dinosaur thing. Because my thing this week is that I just found out that we're getting review copies for my most anticipated game of the year. So I'm excited about that.
What game?
Jurassic World Evolution, Andrew.
Hey! I'm down to try it. I don't care.
Andrew, you?
This week, I enjoy the new God of War because I thought I was going to hate it.
You liked it?
Yeah, I went in with middling expectations, kind of just thinking you'd be like a flash in the pan, I beat it, and then I don't care. But I'm actually super into it. I'm really
liking it. Yeah, it's a really good game.
Yeah.
I can see like the complaints that people have had about it, like it drags on in some sections, etc.
It falls into the pitfalls of cinematic gaming sometimes, where it's like things take a while, or there's walking corridors of talking, or this or that. But when it doesn't do that, it's really, really good.
Still, the talking is so good though, and everything about those sections is so well executed that you can't really fault it all too much. Charlie,
right?
I'm trying to think of something that I like this week.
Oh, look at Mr. Negative.
Your snacks.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It doesn't have to be this week.
Yes. No. I have something, Kai. Something. I actually would recommend this to anyone out there that's trying to eat healthy, or if you're on a ketogenic diet or intermittent fasting early. So it's from a little company called Enlightened. We're not sponsored by Enlightened. I'm not sponsored by Enlightened, but I just really fucking love their product. And they're called Broad Beans, right, Andrew? Broad Beans?
I believe so. Broad Beans.
They make these bomb ass slap dicking beautiful beans, man. They're broad beans, they're high protein, 7 grams per serving, 100
roasted
calories.
Broad bean crisps.
There you go. That's what
is
they're
their
called.
Name.
And they come in like really good flavors. Mesquite barbecue and sriracha are the best so far, but we've only tried 3. And they're just fucking delicious, and they're great if you're trying to put on some muscle or trim off some fat. Really a great snack. Great healthy snack. Really fucking delicious.
They are very, very... I have also had them. They are incredibly good.
Them at joinhoney.com/official. My thing... Yeah.
Never ended.
I've been recently watching... I caught up. It's not new or anything, but Blue Planet 2, and it's amazing.
Hans Zimmer,
who I think at this point he's my favorite composer, but he does an amazing soundtrack for it. The cinematography, everything... It's almost story-driven, I even want to say, because the show makes you care about little fish. Like, I actually start giving a fuck about how this, like, you know, if this cuttlefish gonna get to fuck, yes or no, and I care about it. I care about the bird. Like, is the bird gonna get away from the shark? And if you don't watch
all of them. Is it gonna get to fuck? Is he gonna get the fuck? Is the narrator gonna get to fuck?
Who's the cuttlefish?
It's so good, though.
Who's he taking a prom?
Actually... start to care about these sea animals that, you know, are
largely emotionless, creepy things, but all of a sudden you care about their outcomes, right? You want that little crab to be happy and make it through the barrage of piranhas or whatever. But if you don't watch any other episode, I recommend please go watch, I think it's the second episode of Blue Planet 2, which is The Deep, where they go into the deepest parts of the ocean.
Yeah. Oh, that shit. I love that shit so much every time.
So fucking breathtaking.
Some goddamn monsters down there.
It's like an alien world down there.
It is. Yeah. It's creepy, dark, creepy creatures. They have this badass scene where a bunch of sharks are eating a dead whale carcass and blood comes out of the shark's gills. If you watch, you know what shot I'm talking about. It's so cool. And then they have like a little sea eel that gets spasms because it swam around in a pool of brine. It's such a cool fucking episode. So go check out Blue Planet 2 and also go check out Hans Zimmer's soundtrack to it on Spotify, I guess. I don't fucking know.
Your turn, Chris.
How about you, Chris?
Yeah,
well, I mean, definitely been enjoying God of War and Blue Planet.
Ooh.
You've been watching both of those things this week.
Well, for the previous
nobody
week.
Said this week. Where did that rule come from?
Is it a week thing?
I you go choose something this week. I'm sorry, that's the rule.
That's okay. I guess I have to say.
Yeah, something I've been enjoying this week, I guess, the new Childish Gambino single and music video. Mm.
That was really good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not much for the trap sound, but mm-hmm. that combined with the video, I mean, I can't deny that I keep going back and watching it.
The song's all right, but the video is very well
yeah.
done.
Really well.
That's what I feel as well, yeah. I can't help but kind of go back and look at what's going on in the background, all the details and whatnot. Even though, yeah, the trap side of the music isn't so much for me, but the combination of the two works really well, and I can't stop watching it. But
he's got such a dad bod.
Yeah, he does, but it kind of works for him, you know. I mean, it goes with the beard, and now he's like, all right, respect me. I got dad bod and a beard.
He's kind of more fit than dad bod, I thought.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I definitely thought so as well. Yes. He's got some muscle on him.
He's like regular skinny dude. He's not particularly any kind of shape.
No, dad bods have a bit of muscle to them.
Dad bods are also out of shape. Donald Glover's not really out of shape.
He's got to have the chest muscle.
Yeah, he's got like he doesn't have dad muscle. He has like meat muscle on him.
I thought dad bod was like pear-shaped beer. Yeah. Not beer guts, but like pudgy midsection. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dad bod is like your 40-year-old man.
Right. Gross. And if you are on YouTube, another thing I've been enjoying this week, it's a tiny, tiny, beautiful gem hidden there on YouTube. It's called Licking Agent. And it is a guy...
Licking Agent.
This guy takes requests, and he puts on a ski mask, and he sneaks into places and licks
them.
Wow.
Yeah, this has already warmed my heart. You're right.
Yeah.
This is
highly recommend.
He hasn't made a video in 2 years, though.
I know, but man, maybe some support can bring him back. Get that notorious guy out in the streets. There's a point when he licks a bank while it's closed, and someone kind of catches him, and he's got a full ski mask on. Oh.
Jesus Christ! He's probably in jail. He's probably serving like a 10-year sentence.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
that's terrible.
That's a harsh sentence for licking.
I can't begin to like understand how many things have gone unlicked in those 2 years. It's disturbing, really. I need to get him back on the streets.
He's got to keep us safe.
Just because he's recording it, he's still got to be licking.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
He might be out just on the grind for the fun of it.
So, did he take requests and then lick the thing that people would request the most? Is that what he
did? Yeah, like people were saying, hey, go lick a plasma screen TV, and so he'd go into a Best Buy or something.
Would he give a review after it or something? Like, oh, this thing tasted like shit?
No, he would just lick it, and he does this really weird moan when he licks it. And then, the first one I saw, he goes into an electronic store, and he goes and finds the plasma TV, and he starts, wearing his balaclava and licking it. And
he put on a balaclava in the store.
Yes. And it says, thank you for the 100 subscribers. And that's how it ends. And I just love it. I appreciate that part of YouTube. Yeah, yeah. Ian, no one's out there being a licking soldier like he is.
He has competition in Tampa, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, the shoe
licker. Yeah, the shoe licker.
The Ybor shoe licker, baby.
Yeah.
What is that?
This is like a subculture again. This is intriguing. Do you guys think we're ever going to see like liquor mass killers? Like shoe lickers driving cars into people?
Probably not.
Nah, I don't think that many. I don't think as many people want to lick things as they do have ideals against people having girlfriends.
I also think like the people licking things are benevolent. They don't want to hurt people. They just want to lick.
No, so you don't know that.
I think people are safe.
He could be just as angry as any jihadist or incel. Like, oh, I want to lick her tits, but she doesn't let me.
They don't. You
I
usually
lick
don't,
her shoes.
They don't usually like the flesh, though. They just like objects. At least with my experience with the licking enthusiasts, my limited experience.
Do you like licking things? Let us know and we'll have an interview.
Well, I can tell you one thing. There's not a lot of things I would like to lick, but you know what I would love to lick, boys? A Lisa mattress.
I'm going to drop all the goddamn subtext. I have a Lisa mattress in my living room right now as a spare mattress. And I got it, and it came in a convenient box, and I opened it up, and I plopped it out, and I put it on there, and I was like, okay, well, that's done. And I went, you know what? Think I'm gonna lay down on it. Think I'll try it out. It is a goddamn comfortable mattress. It is a comfortable mattress. And if you want one out there, Chris, are you listening?
Yeah, I'm
Chris,
listening.
If you want one, you go to Leesa.com, that's LEESA.com/official for $125 off of this comfy, conveniently delivered mattress.
Deepest discount.
You can spring into a better sleep. One mattress is donated for every 10 sold, and one tree is planted for every order received. Look, all that matters is Lisa is socially conscientious. I hate that word. Socially conscientious with a mission to end bedlessness in America. Chris, what pisses you off?
What pisses me off is when I don't have a mattress that I can sink into, I can lick if I want. And if I want to wear a balaclava and have a good night's sleep, you know?
Exactly.
Be damned.
Lisa mattresses, though, were designed to provide better support, pressure relief for every body type. It's and for a sleeping, deeper night's sleep. That's it. Get it. Leesa.com, LEESA.com/official.
Nate.
All right. Yeah, any other musician news? Ariana, I know you're single now, so I will buy the highest quality Lisa mattress if you're willing to give me a chance.
Well, thankfully, Kaya, it's at an affordable price.
Beautiful. Well, no, it doesn't even have to be. I'll pay any price out of pocket.
I'm sure Ariana appreciates a frugal guy. Yeah.
Do you like Ariana, Chris?
Oh, well, if she's laying on a Lisa mattress, I can't say no.
The ad's over. Just, yeah. Do you like her?
Chris, I didn't mean to throw you under the...
I don't even want her laying. I want her sitting on my face. It's a Lisa face. Come here, Ariana.
Do I like her?
Discount. This seat is reserved.
He's taking a vow of celibacy until you talk to him, Ari.
Wow.
Yeah, reach out.
Your part.
Also, in other musician news, Kanye watches Rick and Morty, which surprises nobody given his narcissism. Have you guys seen the tweet?
No, what did he say?
What is the tweet? Yeah.
Well, for some reason, I don't have it open now.
Well, he's in luck. With that. Did you see Rick and Morty's been renewed for 70
seasons?
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. Rick and Morty has just gotten a 70-episode renewal from Adult Swim, which is more than double the number of episodes the cartoon has already produced. And Kanye quoted this tweet and says, "This is the greatest news. This is my favorite show. I've seen every episode at least 5 times.
How much do you want to bet, and I am honestly putting money on this, that the new season of Rick and Morty, when it comes out, will have an entire running gag about Kanye tweeting?
Probably.
I guarantee it. No, I guarantee you, they'll be like, Morty, you're not making any sense. You're like the Kanye on Twitter. Like, and they'll rant about it and call back to it. I guarantee it will happen.
I mean, they're not... Rick and Morty's never been one for, like, topical reality gags. Like, I don't see
them... Not too often.
They had a whole episode based on The Purge, and the whole entire script was, they're purging, Morty! They're purging!
But that's not like a pop culture thing. It's not like, oh, Roseanne, she's a fat actress or something, you know what I mean?
The Purge wasn't really new.
I'm not saying it hasn't come out. I'm not really a free thinker. Definitely make some allusion to Kanye going insane on Twitter.
I've never...
That would be a pretty dick move.
If somebody says they like your show and you make fun of them, come on.
I'm not sure if they would go that. I think they don't like to be, kind of like seeking relevancy or like being directly topical with whatever's going on. I think they would like something a bit more obscure, subtle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like,
it's really low effort.
Have they even dropped like an actual real person's name in the show? Because I
all the time.
Let me give me an example. I can't think off the top
Ice-T.
Of my head.
Ice-T.
Rick. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, Ice-T was a whole guest character.
Is he even alive?
That's a good question. Yes. Who else, though, besides Ice-T? He's not exactly a pop culture phenomenon.
Right, one of the highest selling rap artists of all time is not a pop culture phenomenon.
On that vein, then, Logic. Logic's in an episode.
Yeah, Logic's in, yeah, literally, Logic's in an episode, and at the end, it's only so they can go, "Ladies and gentlemen, Logic!" And he raps about going how he's in Rick and Morty.
Were these two episodes in season 3? Because I don't remember either.
Logic's in season 3. Ice-T is in season 2.
Huh. I don't remember the Ice-T one.
Mm.
Ice-T is the one with the big head in the sky.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Huh.
All right, well, it seems we just proved you wrong.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's two people. I'll give you that. I didn't know that.
I mean, Ice-T is, he's going out there and he's got his acting chops out there. But I don't think he's, as incredibly relevant as headline news kind of stuff. I think they try to avoid that to an extent.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm not saying they're going to make like a cultural specific reference to it. I'm just thinking they'll do some maybe callback or idea of like, oh, Kanye is the voice of generation or all like he says shit on Twitter.
Does any part of you think that Kanye tries to attach himself to things that are culturally relevant?
Oh, fuck yeah, man. He's smart about that.
Yeah. So I would think that that's his move. I'm not sure if I'd believe him that he's seen every episode a few times, maybe he
has. That's actually a really good point. I didn't think of that. That's a good point.
Chris, but you have to keep in mind this man, he loves the smell of his own farts which on a Venn diagram that's a one-to-one overlap with Rick and Morty fans. I would believe it. I mean, the whole I'm smarter than everybody niche, which is just cornered by the Rick and Morty fan base. Come on. Kanye fits the pattern here.
Yeah. He does fit that stereotype for sure. I mean, he does fit that. He calls himself a genius more than anyone, you know? So he does fit into alignment with the stereotype of a Rick and Morty fan, you know?
He calls himself as God.
Yeah.
I mean, there you go, right? That's Rick and Morty 101.
I still remember.
I feel bad every time I see him. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I remember back in the early 2000s, he wanted them to rewrite the Bible with him as one of the main characters.
I hate to defend Kanye, but you're taking it a step too far. It's still a stupid thing to say, but he said if the Bible were written today, he would probably be in it. Which is still stupid, but I don't think it's as stupid as they should rewrite the Bible.
I thought he was calling on like Muhammad to redo it. Or Moses, excuse me.
Jesus, if you're listening to Yeezy, come rewrite this.
It needs a revision.
Stupid. Either way, I don't know which one of these you write, but it's.
And he wants it to be a pop-up book where he pops out of it.
Yeah, a scratch and sniff.
Scratch sniff, yeah.
Sniff his shitty sneakers that have awful designs and colors.
Ooh.
And then the book steals your money.
Damn.
When I see him in interviews and stuff, I feel bad. I honestly feel bad for the guy. Like, when you look into his eyes, you see just kind of see confusion and frustration.
You really do.
Yeah.
Like, he's scared. He's legitimately scared of regular life.
You're right. It's confusion. But at the same time, you feel like, if only he was smart enough to articulate himself well, he might get across a point that would make sense, but instead you get shit like slavery was a choice.
Yeah.
And everybody's just scratching their heads. It's like, what are you, retarded, Kanye? What is this?
Kanye's entire modus operandi is he says something incredibly stupid and then 2 days later goes, yeah, I said that, but here's what I actually meant. And then has to explain everything.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, his IRL lyrics need work.
Scoopy poopy.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'd feel bad for him if not for the whole he's richer than God thing.
I think that what he's done recently, it makes me no longer have to feel bad for him. But I do feel like he's just kind of a caged animal that's all scared and his eyes are darting around all the time. And You know, so I maybe I let it slide more than it should with kind of some of the stuff he says.
I do wonder if it's having an actual impact on his marriage. I feel like it has to at this point.
Nah.
Well, you saw that Beyonce like got a hold of him, and or sorry, not Beyonce, Jesus Christ, that his wife Kim Kardashian sent and you know said, "Hey, correct what you said over Twitter."
Yeah, I saw that, and then he was like, "My wife said to correct this, but no."
Yeah, but she also defended him on her own, you know, channels. I don't know if it was her own Twitter or her own news release, but she said, you know what, like, what Kanye can't say that you should be free. What the fuck is wrong with all of you? So she's standing by him, I think. And there you go. We're better than TMZ now.
I mean, it's exactly what we said before. You can't even fucking coincide with him on any capacity. I mean, it was Chance who did the whole apology for the thing. Yeah, that we talked about on the last episode, where he just said a fucking fact, which I'm still mad about, and he had to write an 8-page apology on it. Come on.
Well, give some clarification. I don't think you said it on an episode.
It was on the Patreon episode.
Oh, it was on the Patreon. Yeah, oh, so this bonus is fresh. Oh, so if you go to patreon.com/...
Yeah, Andrew, remember the long ad-less episodes we do on Patreon, which are full length and have guests?
To quickly recap, to spare the people who have heard it, but I guess most people haven't, one thing I'm super grumpy about is how Chance the Rapper put out a tweet going alongside with Kanye saying black people don't have to be Democrats or vote Democratic or something like that. And then that is a factual statement. It doesn't matter what your politics are, what your beliefs are. It doesn't matter. That is just a fact. You cannot disprove that. But then the next
day, can you disprove that? Wait, I want to hear if Chris can disprove that.
Yeah, Chris, you said before we began, blacks have to vote Democrat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe it was Andrew said, "Hey, we're going to start rolling in a second, but make sure that you say this, that blacks have to be Democrats."
And I
said, "Sure." They said, "This is our fifth sponsor, and we just need you to, we need to make sure."
Our fifth sponsor is Chance's apology.
Yeah.
But anyway, to quickly wrap up the point, he said that, and then a day later, he had to go on like an 8-page long apology for saying it, and that just pisses me off.
Yikes.
God, I don't get it. You can't... Okay, whatever. Done. I'm over it. No more.
I guess we could use this chance to quickly pluck somebody we're going to have on next week, I guess. Count Dankula. Thank you for everybody who reached out to him. It finally fucking worked to have our fans contact somebody.
Yeah, I don't know what the relevance of the plug there was, but yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know, being politically incorrect, I guess.
Well, should we move on to Patreon questions?
Do we have any?
Yeah, we have a handful.
Okay.
Go for it.
We have like one good one, but... So this again goes with that shilling for our Patreon. People get to ask us questions in our Discord for the lovely guest. Chris is probably the handsomest guest we've ever had, so I'll spare him the joke questions. But here's a good one. This is from Sergikuz. I can't pronounce that at all. As well as Snow, they asked the same thing. Chris, what are your thoughts on your comics being placed on every conceivable platform and being so widespread?
Well, I mean, it's odd because we got our first big break on MySpace when that came down to it. But I kind of feel the same way that I've always felt. You know, back in the old internet days, people in comic websites and web comics wouldn't allow people to hyperlink to their comics and things like that. And we were all for it. We just said, go ahead, do that, do whatever. Just, you know, show it to people. Maybe they'll have a laugh. And that's kind of what we're going for here. And
what do you mean they wouldn't allow linking to it?
They would do that thing where if you tried to link to just the image, it would break the link.
Oh, really? Yeah, right. God.
Yeah, and it would just show you this is, you know, like, you know, Angel Fire and stuff. A lot of that kind of
I remember
kind
that
of stuff.
That fell out of fashion real quick. I think the only people who still do that is Pinterest, which is like a virus on Google image search.
Oh, it's terrible.
What a cancer.
Yeah, I hear you on Pinterest. I fucking rant about it all the time to my wife loudly while she's trying to sleep. And screaming in her ear.
Chris, can you explain what Pinterest is to me? Because I still don't understand. Is it just a picture hosting site? What is it?
It's like a, I don't know, I want to call it a digital scrapbook that nobody is going to look at. Unless, like, maybe if it's like, you know, someone you know's wish list or things like that. I don't fully got the grasp of it myself. And we have a lot of our comics that end up on there, and I'll go and try to read them, but I don't have an account, so Pinterest will block me from reading it.
Oh, God, yeah. I hate that shit so much.
Jackson, it's like Twitter, except imagine you have to be logged in into Twitter. And now imagine if 90% of your Google search results were Twitter. That's how annoying it is. But you don't want to use it because you're not a, I don't know, like 17-year-old girl.
I guess, but what my point was, I just don't see what niche it fills, because Instagram already kind of fills that like photo scrapbook kind of thing where you just post photos all the
time. It's not your pictures.
Yeah, Instagram lets you, you know, you like somebody's photos and you upload your own. Pinterest is more like, you know, you're a 17-year-old cute girl, so you go on Pinterest.
Well, then there's Tumblr.
Yeah, but it's only for photos, not like blog posts and anonymous questions and such. So you just go on there and you make a whole album of just cute hairstyles, right? And then those appear on Google search results, but you can't see them because you have to be logged in. But of course, you don't have a fucking account because you're a 30-year-old man, not a goddamn 17-year-old girl, which is exclusively the only audience Pinterest has.
So Chris, back,
not in happiness.
Yeah, back to your point, Chris. Continue.
Oh, yeah. I just feel the same way as kind of always have is, you know, we've always enforced the idea of, you know, put it wherever you want. You know, hey, if you don't cut out our, link to our website at the bottom, then we think you're cool in our book. But, you know, put it on your website, make it the background of your GeoCities website as a wallpaper, you know. Yay, it's time to update that 50 cent one, you know, make it one of our comics. So, yeah, we've always been into it, but, you know, we often sometimes get known as like, oh, hey, oh, one that kind of drives me crazy is people will come up to me, especially in Utah when we're doing conventions there, and they'll say, oh, hey, you're that comic that I love from iFunny.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that gets under my skin.
Oh, Jesus.
How do you even reply to that?
I say, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fuck you.
iFunny. Yeah, we've talked to those guys. They are
hey,
dickheads.
You're that dickass from Utah I've never met.
Just go all total biscuit on the kid, have him thrown out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Twitter rant.
That's disgusting.
They'll get under my skin, but yeah. Ugh. The rest is cool.
You're my favorite guy from 9GAG.
Yikes.
All right, Chris, here's another one for you. Another softball from Milan Isn't Cool. Who are some people that inspire you?
Oh, man. Plenty of people, but I'd have to say a major influence of mine, it would be like Don Hertzfeldt is a big one. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it comes from, you know, whatever spectrum you're talking about, but I always really enjoyed Bill Hicks growing up. There's Bill Plimpton. Bill Plimpton is an
animator. I thought you said Bill Clinton.
yeah.
Loved his Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
With a cigar. Yeah.
He's always so cool.
In the window.
He's my main inspiration for saxophone.
And relationships.
Yeah, and relationships. Every time I spill a little toothpaste on my shirt, I wink at the mirror and say that here, this is for you, Bill.
I know you're watching.
Yeah.
I know you're watching. Security cameras around the house.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, the list goes on and on, but yeah, quite a few, you know, people in the animation and film and music, and there's quite a bit. It's hard to list them all. But, yeah, Mike Judge.
Who do you think you've inspired?
Who do I think I've inspired?
Yeah.
I doubt he has specific names.
Jesus.
Well, we'll see. Who's stolen your work? Who do you want to put on blast right now for plagiarism?
Yeah, who deserves a big fuck you from Chris Wilson?
A big fuck you? Mm. Oh, man. Dude, these are loaded questions. You guys are doing a Barbara Walters on me right now.
Oh, yeah. That's how we operate, man.
TMZ.
This isn't a fuck you by any means, but it's more of an anecdote about there's someone who's on YouTube and they do their own thing and in their own way, but we had to ask them to stop. And I met him in person because they like he was taking our backgrounds and our character designs and completely lifting them and putting them in his own videos. And it was, we weren't too bothered by it, but when some of our, you know, background artists and stuff like that were getting, you know, a little offended by it, we decided we were going to say something because he's got like, I don't know, 5 million.
I know exactly subs. Who you're talking about, man.
I feel like you do. And the thing was, it was hilarious because we got nominated for a Streamy alongside him.
Oh.
And I mean, you might want to strike this or not. I don't know. But
we'll edit it so no one can find any information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, we got nominated alongside him, and then we're there at the Streamies, and award ceremonies are weird.
Wait, he's talking. Yeah. He's talking. Jesus.
He's finishing. What? He was finishing with the Streamies.
Oh, you're good, man. You're good. But yeah,
this podcast is sponsored by Lisa.
Oh my god.
Lisa Mattress.
Go ahead.
It's better than ISIS. yeah, basically, we just had to ask him to stop. We don't like you know, trying to come at people in an official way or anything like that. Yeah. And I saw him at the Streamies and everything, and we're nominated alongside him, and I was just like coming up and saying, hey, you know, wanted to introduce myself and kind of break the tension there and be like, you know, hey. And he says, do I know you? And I said, no, I'm Chris from Cyanide Happiness. And his eyes got very big, and he said, hold on one moment. And he went and he hid in the green room in the back, and he hid from us the rest of the night.
Wow.
And it's like, come on. All we did is ask you to stop directly stealing from us, and then, you know, just kind of talk to us. Come on.
Did he stop?
From what I can tell, I haven't checked in a bit, but I think he was kind of forced to by his MCN or something like that.
Holy
Christ. How long ago was it?
This is 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Okay, so legal question. Like, did you have any legal recourse? I mean, did he have to stop or
no? I don't think it came down to that, but if I remember correctly, because it was a while ago, he had some of the same representation as we did. And so we told him, you know, hey, do you mind cutting out, please? You know, and we didn't hear anything back. And then I think they were kind of forced to get a hold of him. Mm.
I mean, what I mean is, could you have, if it came down to it, do you have something like a copyright that you could have used? Or okay.
Yeah, we got our ground covered there just because, you know, I guess we kind of have to.
Okay.
Wow.
It sounds like you really let him off easy.
Yeah,
yeah, well, honestly, I'm looking at his recent videos and stuff, and he's still using the art style.
Yeah, he's directly. If it makes you feel any better, Chris, it seems like he's on harder times because now he's hopping on the Fortnite fortune bandwagon.
Oh, that does make me feel better. I'm glad you brought that up.
Honestly, Chris, I would have, like, I don't think it's an issue that you would call him out because that's really scummy.
That is.
Yeah, I mean, like, from what I understand, he stopped, and I just kind of wanted to go up and talk to him and just kind of say, like, you know, because we don't want to be the people who come at anyone in any official capacity, because we didn't invent circles and squares, and at the end of the day, we're just dudes making dumb jokes. But I was pretty surprised by a lot of it.
Yeah. Jesus. No, man, I get you if you don't want to kept in, because it's easy to get mistaken for the guys who just threaten legal action too easily on everybody.
Right.
Actually, and you know, Chris has made it very clear that he's not that kind of guy, though.
So, Chris, in our Patreon questions keeps bringing up CISO. I don't know why. I just know it's a comedy service that went under.
It used to be. This? Yeah, absolutely. We did we do our shorts on YouTube, and we do the comics, and then we also have a full animated series. And it one way to kind of keep it alive, it ended up on a streaming service called CISO that was kind of comedy specific. Mm-hmm. Same with like Harmon Quest and a couple other shows, Billion Dollar Homes, things like that, or Billion Dollar Properties. Pardon me. And my Brother, My Brother and Me official kind of live action show they did was also on it. And then nobody really heard anything from them nobody, they wouldn't really talk or show any numbers or do anything. And then they just kind of went under and everyone was kind of like, where do we go?
Wow.
What happened?
It's a shame, man. I think most of the comics just go to Netflix now, or at least most of them have been picked up by Netflix. A lot of the names that I follow. Who's your favorite comedian, Chris? Because I feel like you have a few.
My current, my favorite living comedian is Maria Bamford.
I've never heard that name.
She's great. She's one of the best comedians and voice actors. Definitely a favorite of mine.
Maria Bamford?
Yes.
I'll check her out. And yeah, favorite she's super dead good. One?
My favorite dead one is Bill Hicks, probably. It's kind of a tough one because there's a lot of Carlin. Dead ones that I yeah, like quite a bit. Yeah, Carlin. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I really like Patrice O'Neill.
I've heard that name before.
Yeah, I'm so uncultured.
I don't keep up with stand-up, really. I tried listening to a little in the car last night. I listened to some Chris D'Elia and a couple others, and man, it was stinky poop ass. Like, it was just like the...
I don't know that one either.
Well, he's the one that got into a fight with Logan Paul over Twitter, and he was throwing some zingers.
To be fair, in your defense, Charlie, his zingers on Twitter were pretty good.
Yeah, I was about to say, his zingers were fucking amazing. But I'm sad that he wasn't actually funny.
His stand-up was quite literally like a frat douchebag got too drunk at a party, so he stood on top of like the keg to deliver like his poorly written routine. Like his opening joke to the special I watched was... There was a guy in the front row with a long beard and like trimmed hair, and he said, "Dude, I hate guys like you, bro, whose beard hair is longer than his head hair. You're upside down face guy." That's quite. And then he went on about his beard being long for like rough. 10 minutes. Yeah.
Eesh.
And then the other one was just calling someone fat, like not even clever. It was just like, "Hey, you're overweight, man. What is this? It's adipose tissue." But not like, it wasn't even delivered clever. It was just like a frat douchebag, man, that just got a little too drunk. So I'm going to have to say Logan Paul was in the right. Chris D'Elia's stand-up is fucking ass.
Don't discount stand-up, though. I personally love stand-up. I think if you find somebody that you like, you're going to have a really good time.
No, there are some I like. Like, I fucking love Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald's the man.
Mm-hmm. I think he's the king of stand-up. Dave Chappelle also is generic, basic bitches, that is.
Charlie, say one more, because right now your 2 for 2 are my favorite stand-ups of all time.
Those are the only two that I can think of, man. I think they're fucking genius.
Yeah, great ones.
Dave Chappelle, obviously, great. My top Fantastic. Four would be Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, Doug Stanhope, and I guess that's the top three. And
oh, man, I'm so glad you
mentioned... is Ricky Gervais.
Right. I'm so glad you mentioned Doug Stanhope, man. I love him. He's a fucking paragon.
One that kind of dropped off, but I still love. You guys remember Dave Attell?
Yeah.
I think Dave Attell was fucking incredible as well.
He's great.
He was fantastic.
He's still doing quite a bit.
Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
Sorry, he's still doing quite a bit. He's just kind of staying out of the limelight as far as television and shows. Yeah. He's just doing the stand-up circuit, it seems.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything new from him. I'll have to see what he's currently up to, because I remember when I was younger and he was like a big name. I loved him. I thought he was great. He has a really like antagonizing voice. Like he sounds like he's always mad at you when he's talking. I really loved it.
He always talks like this.
Yeah, he's like, "What are you doing?" Like that kind of shit. I loved it.
Yeah. You know, people sometimes they ask me how I learned English so well, and little known fact that comedy played a huge role, actually, because when I was younger, at 17, 18, 19, 20, I don't know how old, but I would always listen to comedy albums by George Carlin, Doug Stanhope. I mean, they're literally the people I grew up on, and I really just grew to love comedy.
Good
stuff.
What age did you learn English? 17, 18, 19, 20? What the fuck?
No, I mean, okay, well, English is a difficult language to learn as well as, you know, okay, this is going to be a humble brag douchebag thing, but people ask me a lot, like, how do you speak English so well, right? And it's not just, oh, I learned this in school. It isn't. I watched English movies, English TV shows, English, you know, I read, and that sort of stuff. And part of it is just, you know, when people ask me how I learned it so well, I, I, I didn't sit down and, I don't know, solve exercise books. I watched South Park, I watched Hollywood movies, and I listened to Doug Stanhope.
Charlie, why do you think that most weebs are completely fluent in perfect Japanese?
Whoa, no.
Basically, yeah.
I wasn't questioning the methods. In fact, I'm 100% agreeing that you can't learn everything from like the Rosetta Stone and shit. I just meant because he said I grew up with these things and I learned English 17, 18, 19, 20.
Not learned, but I mean, learning is sort of a very perfected. Long process. Me
you
learning
never stop
English
learning.
Did not end at when I was like, I don't know, 14 years old, right? When,
I got you.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very, if you're learning English, is a lot of people forget that it's not just about the grammar, but a lot of the idioms and that sort of thing. Unless you start understanding the small sort of sayings and the culture as well around the language, I don't think you really know the language. And comedians played a huge role. That's why I'm big time into stand-up personally.
But that brings me to an interesting question for you, Chris. When are you going to translate Cyanide and Happiness to Turkish?
Personally.
Honestly, so many people kind of translate it for us and just kind of go at it. So I wouldn't be too surprised if there was a Turkish, at least for the comic out there. There's a couple of YouTube channels where they dub over all of the voice acting and do it in, Portuguese. Yeah.
Holy shit. That's so cool, dude.
That is.
But they just do it.
Yeah, very flattering. I'd be flattered if somebody translated our podcast. But Chris, if you like the, let me give you the basics on the Middle East as the guy who grew up in Turkish. If your comic is translated, it's translated in a way where each comic, the joke is that a Jew dies.
Oh man!
can you do that, Chris?
Yeah. How many Jews die in Cyanide and Happiness, Chris?
I think just Jesus. I think that's been the only one.
You could be missing a valuable market.
Not in the Turkish version.
Yes. In the Turkish version, everyone's Jewish.
And they're all evil.
Jesus.
Please don't arrest
That's an
me.
Official statement. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I guess a lot of the Turkish audience would feel that not enough. We haven't had enough of Jewish people dying.
Yeah. The You'll Holocaust wasn't enough.
You'll have to go ahead and take that to your storyboard artist, Chris, tomorrow. We need more dead Jews in our comics. We have to hit the Turkish market ASAP, boys. We got to hit it hard.
Dude, you're going to be big in the Middle East if you just make a comic, which is Jewish children being nuked or something.
God, that's sad.
God, yes.
It's sickening.
I mean, the funny part is that's not even a joke.
Ugh, God.
That's the sad part, man. Do we have any more Patreon questions? Any more...
Honestly, not really. I think wrapping up now is probably the best idea.
Okay, we can go ahead and start wrapping up then. Chris, is there anything you'd like to plug? Plug away.
Yeah, we just started a Patreon, and we've been having a pretty kick-ass time trying to get that going. Using the Discord is new for me, and it's been a pretty good time. And also, we just started a podcast recently where we kind of improvise a sketch or else be murdered. So, yeah, give it a check. Check it out.
Yeah, go check them out. Go check all that stuff out, I mean.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah. It's been a huge pleasure.
Please go check out Chris's Patreon. He does. No.
Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Official Patreon.
Goodbye.
Bye.
See you, everyone.